Hey guys, welcome back. This week you're in store for absolutely zero politics.
So let's talk about Pete Buttigieg, the rat face motherfucker.
Because for those of you who stayed with us through our whole last episode, that's all it was. But we're going to deliver this time.
Yes.
We're going to talk about The Lion King. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about Picard. And we're going to get right the fuck into it.
Oh, wow.
Rock and roll.
I was practicing it all day because I don't have my script.
I mean, I could always be louder. I'm Dave.
I'm Brandon.
And I'm Jay.
And nobody asked for this.
A podcast where we dissect reboots, remakes, retcons, and requels of our favorite movies and TV shows.
This week, The Lion King. And we'll probably talk about Picard.
Stick around.
It's inevitable. thoughts? Overall, guys? Impressions?
So, I have a hot take to share from Aladdin, a fourth grader.
Oh, okay.
I thought you guys would love this. He said we were talking about Disney movies, and he said his favorite part of the new Aladdin was kicked him off of the balcony. And we're like, what? Why? Weird. He goes, because I thought it was going to be over. I was like, that is the best I've ever heard
hilarious.
From a fourth grader.
That's
my gosh. I like that kid.
Yeah. Would you like to come on our podcast?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I'll tell you what, I didn't think the new Lion King was nearly that bad.
No. Well, again, we're back with Jon Favreau, the guy who did all the other good stuff that we've liked so far.
Mm-hmm. Johnny Fav.
Yeah. The guy who did Jungle Book, Mandalorian, Iron Man, you know.
I thought the visuals were just, I mean, like,
It was
really nice. I liked it.
I felt it was bland coming off of the original.
You know what? I agree with you.
It was more watered down, if you will.
I agree with both of you.
It was a good attempt. I think it was a very good attempt, and I didn't despise it. I liked it.
I thought the visuals were really good, Jay. I thought the graphics were I was impressed.
Yes, they were good. Yeah.
But the splashes of color and the great visuals from the original, it pops. It really pops.
I agree 100% with that.
And the character animations in the new one were very realistic.
Yes.
But in the original one, they're like so fluid and well. Like every time Scar moves,
it's the best.
Like that's just the way he slinks. Mm-hmm. It gives you like a serpent-y, betrayal type feel for the character.
You knew he was evil. And there were times in this one where I was like, when they're fighting, I'm like, is that Scar or is that
It was
Simba?
Definitely tell them apart. I think that, Disney does so well, and what I feel like we've been finding, is that that you can't necessarily do in these computer-generated remakes, is that they convey so much through just the animation itself.
Yeah.
Like, you could watch these old Disney movies on mute.
Of course.
And you would be able to tell bad guy, good guy.
Yeah.
You would be able to infer character traits, like you said.
Sure,
With Scar. Like, if that was on mute, you would be able to, this is a bad guy, and he's kind of sneaky, he's a little slithery.
You would
He's a fucking snake.
He's not strong like Mufasa.
Not strong like Mufasa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and so I think that, doing these remakes handicaps you immediately.
Mm.
Because right out of the bat, you're losing a way to tell a story.
Yeah, you're losing a big part of the context and a big part of the film. Yeah,
but all in all, I think they did the remake right. First of all, the original still fantastic.
One of my favorites.
What a great time.
Very, really great movie.
And I was looking into it because we've been talking about kind of like the Disney Renaissance because a lot of these movies have come from that time.
Uh-huh.
This was literally the peak. Because it then went to Pocahontas and the animation studio went down from here. They were able to do a few Pixar films before Pixar left and then came back. But this was the last movie that Jeff Katzenberg was on, and he left after this to work with DreamWorks. And that's when Shrek got popular and all that stuff. So, Jeff Katzenberg was one of the big reasons they had
this success.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
An interesting fact about this, which I also came with a fascinating tale.
This was the B project.
No, that's not what I was going to say.
Oh, okay.
This was the Disney's first original story, supposedly.
Oh, yes. Yeah, it was.
Everything else had been based on a fairy tale or the Arabian Nights or something.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But this was an original Disney tale.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are strong notes of Hamlet in here.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. So there's definitely a Shakespearean feel with, the betrayal of the brother and the son having to become king.
Not really an adaptation of it. It just borrows a lot from it.
I guess the creators said that they were inspired by the lives of Moses and the life of Moses and the works of Shakespeare.
Yeah.
Was what I guess was said. Now, I did find...
That was Prince of Egypt. You okay?
Yeah, no, I think...
I'm not wearing my headset because I don't even think it's working at the moment. But also, fun fact, this story may have been a ripoff.
Of Kimba. Or like the White Lion, the animated thing from Japan.
Yes, yeah. some anime.
Yes. And it's eerily similar to the point where Matthew Broderick was like, oh, this is a retelling of that anime, like animated thing from Japan.
Really?
Yes. He even thought so. But they'll still swear to this day up and down that it's not. I don't know. I've seen some reviews and clips of that other one, and it's close, but it was also a whole series with like all these different adventures.
I've never seen the other one. I don't know if the storyline matches up necessarily.
Some parts do, yeah.
But I know there's a lot of characters that match it. Like there's an evil uncle, mm-hmm. and there's like a goofy monkey,
yes.
and there's a bird sidekick, mm-hmm. and yeah, there are some eerie,
there are some like uncanny
similarities. But supposedly the first original tale from Disney, which was interesting.
Do you know, it's still the, I believe, highest grossing 2D animation.
I'm not surprised.
Like, in history.
That's fantastic.
It was surpassed
movie.
By Toy Story 3 later, but it was like the biggest.
You laugh, mm-hmm. you cry.
That's the one
best. You get a feel of resounding pride at mm-hmm. the end when Simba defeats Scar. It's a fantastic film. I mean, when Mufasa dies.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's... Christine, we were watching the remake, and Mufasa's like in the herd, and Christine goes, "Oh no!" And I was like, "Did you think he was gonna live?" She was like, "I was hoping
it was just a whole new direction."
Right? No. But my point is, it's still such an emotional impact. And mm-hmm. then this child thinks he's killed his father, and then the uncle tells him to run away and takes over. It's a strangely...
It is a familiar story.
It's like a relatable tale, but not to any of us.
No, but
like none of us have experienced this.
No.
But it's a coming of age.
It goes back to, like the Bible. Like, Bible had stories like that.
There's something like... Mm-hmm. It's like in like a human psyche type of thing. This is mm-hmm. like an ancient tale that's been retold time and time again by people like Shakespeare and in the Bible. Like Greek tragedy, absolutely. Uh-huh. Oedipus...
Yeah.
Who, similar, although he kills his dad, marries his mom.
That's even worse, but it's similar. There's similar notes.
It's always a weird thing to read in high school.
Doesn't he stab out his eyes
afterwards?
Stabs
out his eyes, yeah.
Yes, it's... I mean, literature is not for the faint of
heart. No, it is certainly not.
I mean, especially, literature from earlier time periods.
Yeah, right.
I mean, shit just... People's eyes getting poked out was just not a shocking thing when, everyone you knew was dying of the plague.
Yeah.
God's coming in or whatever. Like, that was a big thing.
It was just like, oh, whatever.
Yep. This happens.
These things happen. This is how we live, but the Lion King, the tale of the Lion King is such a you feel the story unfold mm-hmm. with Simba and his father, and it's like there's like a father son tale there where and the stars and I'll always be with you mm-hmm. and look to the star, and it's like obviously this is all metaphor and you're supposed to kind of relate and put yourself in the position of this lion. The first one was hard to beat, but the remake I thought they did
admirable.
A really good job.
Yeah, I think it was good. It's one of those, like, if you've seen the first one and you haven't seen it in a while and you want to check out the new one, go for it. You'll like it.
I didn't even mind the extra length.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it wasn't.
I felt like it didn't have to be 2 hours, but I didn't mind.
I agree both. Like, I was hesitant because I'm like, of course it's 2 hours. Here we go. Right. We're going to fill it with this time. And then I was like, oh, okay, movie's almost over. All right. I didn't notice that the 2 hours had gone by.
That scene where the patch of hair is floating across the desert.
Yeah.
It's picked up by that. I was like, this could have ended
that
10 minutes ago.
Yeah, that took a little, that overstayed its welcome a little bit. Mm-hmm. I think the one thing that I really did not like compared to the original was the music. I did not like
100%.
The songs that I don't think there was one that I liked at all. And I think, and I don't know, but I think they actually sounded like they reused Circle of Life at the end, because it sounded that was the one that I liked at the end of the new one was when he's on Pride Rock and they're like doing that last
they may
circle.
Have.
And I was like, this sounds really good and out of place. But it sounds like
the original one.
Exactly like the original one. One sounded.
Maybe.
So I feel like they might have reused it because it was.
You know, the only musical thing that I liked was the a wee move up, a wee move up.
That was fun.
And then the live action characters doing, and they have all the other characters joining in, and then Nala comes out of nowhere. And
that was really good. Yeah,
that was really well done. I'll give you that. But still, it's hard to beat the original Timon and Pumbaa singing that song. Who, Brandon? I'm sure you know their names.
It was Nathan Lane and I forget the other guy, but you'd know him because he was a character actor who has been in Broadway and stuff like that too. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And they were. I don't know if either one of them is a singer. I guess the Broadway guy probably is.
Nathan Lane, yeah. Well, Nathan Lane's a singer, too. Yeah,
sure. Nathan Lane is a guy I probably have seen somewhere.
Nathan Lane's at the Birdcage. And, the producers, he's the newer producers. You'd really know who he is.
You would totally know him if you saw him.
I'm sure I would.
Yeah.
Anyway, he sings songs.
We saw the Birdcage. You've seen the Birdcage?
What's the Birdcage?
With Robin Williams and with Gene Hackman about the, like, where Rob Williams plays a gay husband with Nathan Lane in Miami. They have a son who's going to marry the senator's daughter.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh my God. You have to see that movie. That's a great
one. Movie.
It's also a remake, and I've put it on the list before, and it's still on the list. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes,
after our overlords are finished with us.
Yes.
God, I know.
After Disney has used us up and thrown us away.
We are husks.
We need a break. I'm a little tired of it.
Do you want to do that movie next week?
The mouse is saying we're not allowed to.
Let's do Birdcage. Sure.
Okay, well, we're going to take a Disney break next week and do the Birdcage. Does that sound good? Because apparently this movie's great and I've never seen it.
I'm getting a low electrical shock right now. I believe
is your collar starting to heat up a little bit.
I believe this is a warning.
The original movie is, I think, a French movie. So,
oh.
If we want to skip that, just watch The Birdcage. It's a great movie.
Okay, we'll do some research into this. Have you seen this movie, The Birdcage, Jay?
No.
Okay.
Wow.
No, I just know he's in it. I know it was a good movie. I know it was a good movie and never saw it.
My point was that the songs in the original one are executed better.
Well,
they're
performed.
Sung better. Yes. The visuals are better. Yeah. Everything about them is better. The Scar song where he does the
what the fuck was with the Scar song in the new one?
I know.
Terrible.
That's where I was like, oh, this movie's losing.
And Scar was not nearly as good. What's his face who does Scar?
Okay, so it was Jeremy Irons in the first one.
Yes.
And he's the
bad guy
best.
From Die Hard 3.
Yes, correct.
Simple Simon said to the pieman, going to the square.
Correct. Jeremy Irons is a fantastic bad guy. And he expressed interest to be in the new one, but they only really wanted to bring just James Earl Jones back. And they got Chiwetel Ejiofor, who is, if you both have seen Serenity, the movie,
yes,
he was the assassin guy, and he's been in a ton of other stuff.
Oh, I do like him.
He's a stage actor, but apparently his singing voice wasn't good enough or that good, because they didn't give him the same song.
He spoke that song badly.
Exactly. He did speak that song.
And badly.
Very bad. Mm-hmm.
I was very unimpressed. That was Christine's favorite song in the original, and she was like, this is awful.
Yeah. Yeah, that I was like, holy shit, what the
John Oliver was good, though. He was good.
He wasn't bad, but I think the original Zazu...
He wasn't Roan Atkinson.
I think he was better.
No, I agree. But I thought he was a good replacement.
John Oliver. I didn't think he was terrible or by any means.
I think he can sing better than Roan Atkinson can, for sure. Like, he's actually
sung
on the show.
I like
I know. His songs on the show,
his song is so funny.
Sidebar, but that cracks me up.
Yeah, he knows how to sing.
But the original song where they just can't wait to be king and Zazu sing along with
that
it.
Number was one of the ones I didn't mind. I was like, yeah, because
the original one
was hard to fuck
so much better. Thank Fair you.
The,
yeah,
the visuals were a million.
The visuals, the singing from every character, including John Oliver.
I thought that one was serviceable, but the difference of opinion.
Serviceable, sure. I'll give you serviceable.
Yeah, but it just didn't. I feel like nothing in there. Well, would have been, and maybe they
and
were
I think
good.
Better than the Scar song.
I think that's the problem with these remakes. Yeah.
Maybe if you had never seen
it's
the
going
original,
to be an imitation of them, like no matter what.
Like maybe they were great songs if you hadn't seen the original, and maybe they hit the like they're great singers and sung well. But when you hear it compared to the original, they knocked it out of the park in the original.
Yeah.
I don't think you have a better cast for that kind of shit.
Like, well, speaking to the point that it is an imitation, I do think that's also what they did really well, and they do well when they do these remakes is. This was almost a scene-for-scene remake.
Almost.
There was, I mean, not a shot-for-shot remake.
No.
But a scene-for-scene remake. Yes. The storyline was essentially, the beats, everything was there exactly as it was before.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the scenes were a little different, but they were mostly the same.
Yes.
And that's all you have to do. Like, we don't need a whole sub-quest with a Jabberwocky. It's unnecessary.
This
is not Lord of the Rings. This is, get out of here with that
fucking
shit.
Alice in Wonderland. What the fuck?
Yeah. We tuned in for Alice in Wonderland, and you gave us this fantasy story with a dragon and Excalibur and a knights in shining armor, and it's just all unnecessary. Think about The Jungle Book.
Yeah.
It's almost exactly the same as the original.
Yeah.
Like, they changed, like, the kind of... The plot device, like where it never was really about him going back per se, but that was the only thing they really changed. Everything else was still beat for beat the same, and it was
up until the end.
Yeah, Jon Favreau knows what he's doing.
He
yeah.
definitely does. Well, it's not. You don't have to reinvent the wheel,
and he knows that.
He's like, hey, this movie was good. I'm gonna remake it and do it the same but different.
He said like, so it'll be good. We can't get anybody better than James Earl Jones. So let's just get James. He's still alive. Let's get him.
And
like,
and he sounded pretty good too.
Yes, he did. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Better than he's ever sounded as a recent Darth Vader.
Correct.
It wasn't as good as the original Simba, but for how old the man
he's
is,
like 87 or something.
He brought it to this part.
Yes.
So, and I was glad to have him back.
It was good to hear that. Yeah, that brought me in.
Yeah, this is. But I mean, listen, the original again, the 90s version,
peak Disney. That was literally,
and it's got the broad.
That's where.
You can't lose with the broad, bro.
Your favorite, you little.
Is it the best movies all have the broad?
Just because that's the only person who knows the name.
Tell me they know. You tell me War Games was a fantastic film, do you not like Ferris Bueller's Day Off? Do you have a problem with that movie?
Never seen War Games.
I mean, oh God, you're a terrible person.
Serenity.
Is he in Serenity?
What?
No, he's not. I'm just pointing out movies that don't have the broad. Oh, okay. That are good. That are better.
I'm not saying he's in every good movie, Jay. I'm just saying every movie he's in is quality.
So he's like Will Smith up until
Aladdin.
Aladdin, yeah.
I know people who like despise him.
Why? What did he do?
I don't know.
You're saying them personally?
He's just too good. He's just too good.
Yeah, they're jealous.
They are.
Haters gonna hate. Haters gonna hate, Brandon.
Yeah.
And lots of people be hating on the broad because he's so excellent.
Your favorite. I thought Donald Glover was pretty good. Right?
Donald Glover the rapper?
Yeah.
Is that who was old Simba?
And Beyonce was old Nala.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, they were good.
They're fine.
Yeah, they were good.
They're fine. I mean, again, I think all the voice acting in the original one was better, including James Earl Jones.
Yes, yeah.
Because, I mean, he was just better.
And as much as I like Chiwetel Ejiofor, the guy who played Scar, you cannot beat Jeremy Irons.
No.
You can't. You literally can't. He's the best.
Oh my God.
He's so good. Just dripping. He's so awesome.
He's
the best.
And this was, on rewatching it, a problem I had with the original. He's really the only reason, other than like the Nazi march that the hyenas do, that you know that they're bad. Like they don't really expressly say why Scar is bad and why the hyenas are bad. They do a better job of explaining it in the remake.
Yes.
You just get the feeling that like hyenas are dicks.
They explain more of the relationship with the
like they're mean to our protagonist, so obviously that's
like
a problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it wasn't like, and they do the Nazi march. And you're like, oh, okay, imagery, I recognize it's bad.
Clear message, yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like they had like bad social policies.
Yeah,
hyenas were overtaxing everybody. But they explained it in the remake as like
their stomach is never full.
Right.
Hyena's stomach is never full.
Mm-hmm.
Which I guess you could kind of read into in the original because they destroy
but they never
the Pride Lands.
They really say that.
Yeah, they just come back in the Pride and they're like,
all the packs
are gone. The herds have moved on. And you're just like, oh, I guess that's because of the hyenas.
Yeah.
But
you never really, I mean, I always thought it was just because Scar just didn't get it.
Yeah, I figured Scar was kind of
like
a dick.
You just didn't understand. They had to follow the herds.
Yeah, right? You got to go with the herds,
like,
pally.
You really are a bad lion, Scar. You don't get this at all. You shouldn't be king. Like, that's what I always thought it was. But yeah, they explain that relationship, the antagonist relationship.
And I like that.
Yeah,
I like that better. Because otherwise you're just like, I guess they're hyenas or dicks.
Yeah, and I like that there were more voice animal characters. We got that whole, like, Timon and Pumbaa crew. They were fun.
Yeah. They grew on me very quickly. Yes. I wasn't sure I felt about them at first.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
But did you notice how they don't give a fuck about bugs? Bugs are animals,
no,
exactly. too.
They like all animals except for bugs.
Guys,
fuck bugs.
This is way before Bugs Life, so you gotta come.
They were like, hey, listen, we don't eat meat here, but this bug...
Which is not meat at all.
It's not. Bugs are vegetarian. I don't know if you know this. This is a little strange.
Yeah. It's all cellulose. That's all it is.
It's really a mammalian-centric movie, let's be honest. Yeah. Like,
yes.
And they did an interesting...
It is mammalian exceptionalism.
Thank you.
It definitely is. Yeah, No, there's some alligators in there who I think participate in some songs. They don't seem like they're particularly oppressed. Like they seem like they were living in the Pride Lands.
Yeah,
it's vertigo-centric. Like,
it's really just anti-hyena.
I guess.
They were just not down with hyenas.
No.
Even like the Timon and Pumbaa, no one was like doing anything to them. They were
the
just
darkness.
What right? was that?
Who else didn't live in the Pride Lands? Was it just the hyenas? That was it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're still like hyenas. That's why I was glad in the second one, in the remake, they spelled it out more.
Yes.
Where they were like, oh, the hyenas. Really bad. I took it as like they overexploit the land and they don't have a respect for the circle of life.
That's what it is. They're not a part of the circle.
They made the circle of life a lot better and more clear in the second one, too. They expanded on that idea.
Yeah.
And I like what they did with Timon and Pumbaa because upon rewatching the original also, I was like, I always liked Timon and Pumbaa. I didn't really internalize the fact that they're a bad influence on Simba.
Yeah.
They're certainly not villains.
They're a Baloo, you know, like Baloo was.
Yeah. Exactly what I thought. Mm-hmm. They're like hey.
They're free, yeah.
We know this is like appealing and these guys are cool and relatable. Like you like Baloo too.
Yes.
But it's just that you have responsibilities. Yes. You've got, you know, people who are counting on you. Mm-hmm. And so you can't spend all your time fucking her off.
Yeah.
And they did that great scene at the anthill with where he was like, with Circle, where'd you get that? It's a line of indifference.
Yes.
If it wasn't a line, then what I do would affect this guy and that would affect that
they
guy.
They were really good.
And like that would make doing whatever you want not cool.
Billy Eichner from, I think he's on SNL, and he's like
he was Timon.
Yes. And Seth
hilarious.
Rogen was
cool. Yeah. He was good. As much as I like the original guy,
Nathan Lane.
Nate Lane. I really liked
Billy Eichner did a good job. Yeah. He brought apparently Jon Favreau even didn't even have him audition. He was just like, hey, do you think Billy? He calls Asia like, do you think Billy would want to do the Lion King? And he was like, absolutely, of course, absolutely. Whatever you want.
He was a good casting. Yeah, I liked him a lot.
And Seth Rogen was pretty good too. He wasn't super Seth Rogen-y. He was
I'm
good.
Not like a Seth Rogen.
I'm not
me
as
neither
much as I was either, but he wasn't. He wasn't too Rogen.
I don't like him as the centerpiece of a movie.
Yeah,
I think he's a bad star. But I think in a cast of characters, I like him. I think he does good work.
And I thought he brought it. He did a pretty good job.
Yeah, he did. He did. He definitely did.
I looked up one of the actors was Cassidy Yates from DS9 was one of the female lions.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were all fine.
In the Orville.
Yes, she is. Yeah.
It's just hard to beat that original Lion King.
It really was. But it did as good of a job as it could, and I think I enjoyed it. You know, I didn't want those 2 hours back like I normally
do. Yeah, yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, I did not regret watching this movie.
It was
an
interesting take on it, doing sort of live action, even though let's be real,
it's all CGI.
100% of it was CGI.
But it was impressively done CGI.
Yeah,
well, it's like really cutting edge, like that opening shot when they're panning over the lake and all that. Like
that's a shot for shot.
And so I mean, obviously it's not as colorful, but that's where I was like. Right off the bat, I was like, okay, this is really well done CG.
They took care and really wanted to.
I didn't
make it
hit
right.
an uncanny. I mean, they're animals, again, so granted, you're
remember,
not going
right.
to, but
this was the
top
grossing 2D animated movie they've ever made. They had to do it right again.
That's true.
It only went downhill from there, guys.
Sure they were
the
acutely
B-team
aware
thing
of
I was talking
that.
About.
Oh, yeah.
The Pocahontas and Lion King were being worked on simultaneously by Disney Animation. And Bill, I guess, or was it Michael Eisner? Michael Eisner was basically like, we're really focused on Pocahontas, but you guys could do this Lion thing too. We'll bring them both out. And it really was supposed to be like the B project, and it ended up being the biggest hit they've ever had.
It's great.
Yeah.
And totally deserved.
Of course.
Like, absolutely and totally deserved. Mm-hmm. That movie, there's...
Like, they were almost there with Aladdin, and then Lion King was really...
Yeah.
That was the summit. That was where they peaked.
I don't know that there's, like, a minute of that movie that's bad or boring.
Totally.
Or it's... And it's not all action either.
No.
But, like, every scene...
Has something going on.
Yeah. Yeah. And Rafiki?
Yes.
Oh,
fucking
my God.
Love Rafiki.
Who doesn't?
The best.
Which I was disappointed that they took out the scene where he hits him in the head with the staff.
Yeah, yeah.
Ow, that hurt. Mm-hmm. What does it matter? It's in the past.
Yes.
But the way I see it, you can either run from it or, and then he ducks it, learn from it. And it's just like, it's such
scene.
A good scene. It just puts it
they
right
kinda,
there.
They kind of lessened his character a little bit in this one.
They definitely did, but, which was disappointing.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, but they just didn't have anybody as charismatic as the first guy.
Yeah, maybe not. It was just for a great character.
Much more minor
role
than it was in the first one. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's still good, though.
Yeah.
Still enjoyable.
I'd say watch it if you get a chance.
If you haven't seen it, definitely watch it. It's for sure worth watching. And again, the new one, The stuff it did that was the same was good, but not as good. But the stuff that they deemed to add to it was I really appreciate.
Was actually yes. very good.
Yeah, added to the
that extra half hour or whatever.
There was
it
no
is.
Jabberwocky. There was no,
yeah. Like, I was like, precisely. This is all yeah. good.
It was just beefing it was out in service of the plot. Scenes.
What was already there? Yeah. Yes,
which
yes.
I liked,
and it was in service of the plot, not you know.
Yeah. yeah. Like when Simba gives his speech to, or I'm sorry, when Mufasa speaks to Simba about the circle of life and about like, oh, dad, don't eat the antelope. And he explains like, yes, but we, whatever. Like the message comes across, but in the remake, he's like, oh, all this will be mine. And he's like, well, no one owns it, Simba.
Yeah, they changed that. I was like,
you get to be custodian of it and, you know, take care of all the animals. And I was like, I like that better because now we're not only talking about the benevolent king, obviously, but there's also this, it enhances the circle of life because now the lions are providing a service to the animals that they eat, which I guess was implied.
Yeah.
Because they were like, hyenas in the Pride Lands, and they go off to fight them off. But I feel like they did a better job of like, they beefed it up, Jay.
Yeah. Yeah.
They took the themes and the scenes that were already there and they were like, let's just
let's add to it.
Let's just crank those up. Send those to the gym. Because
mad gains on the Lion King.
Mad gains on the Lion King.
And they were able to pump it up to 2 hours and 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And it didn't hurt.
And that's all muscle weight.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah.
Oof, boy.
All natural too.
Under 10% body fat, easily. They were both really good.
Yes.
And if you're around our age, if you're old, You're going to remember that The Lion King was probably a Disney movie you enjoyed growing up, and it's our pleasure to really tell you that it still holds up and you can safely go back and watch it.
Yes.
Because that always scares me with these remakes now. It's like, man, I loved these movies when I was a kid, but like, what if they ruin it?
Well, talking Disney, like
Aladdin, I was so mad because Aladdin was my favorite Disney movie growing up. And it sucked. And Lion King is a close second. And I'm really happy that they did it justice.
They did it justice. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's a good movie. It's not better than the original, but like it's still
not that much could be.
Like, yeah, nothing's gonna beat that.
Yeah, it's a hard movie to beat. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I don't necessarily know that they were trying to beat it. I think that was also a thing too.
They're paying homage to
it. Yeah, you know what I mean. I think that it's a difference from a filmmaking perspective when you go in trying to beat the original and trying to just be like. Yeah, pay homage to it.
Yeah, John Favreau's a smart man.
I think is exactly what they did.
Yeah, it was nice to watch two good movies in a week.
For sure.
It was really a joy.
Yeah.
And Brandon, I mean, you watch them back to back.
Yeah.
So you've got like the closest comparison view of how they stack up. And
They stacked up pretty well.
Yeah, it was a pleasure. Thank you. Thank you, Disney.
Yes.
You're excellent. Yeah, the collar just loosened.
Shot a fucking opioid.
It feels a lot looser now. Did someone just slip a check under my door? Oh my God, look at that. No, you can't fuck up them all.
Yeah.
Is it even a broken squirrel with vision misses a nut?
No,
I don't know. Even
blind
a blind
squirrel.
No, it still applies. Yeah, even a blind squirrel finds a nut.
Broken clock is right twice a day.
Yeah. No, they did a good job on this one, and I do think Jon Favreau deserves mad props.
Well, he's fine. He's basically on retainer with Disney now, and he's fine. He got a lifetime achievement, but like a excellence award at the last D23 or whatever. He's basically their boy right now. So yeah,
and He should be.
He's done nothing but good product for you guys. So,
exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Dude, I fucking put that guy in a seat of gold and just give him whatever he needs.
Let him direct all these other remakes because they're pretty shit.
You get him to Epstein's Island, whatever this guy wants.
No,
don't put him on the plane.
That's how it starts. Whatever you need, Mr. Favreau, whatever I need.
Oh, no.
You're going to have to vet him, too.
Get me Jeff Epstein's corpse.
He's still alive.
Maybe. We'll see. I don't know. Or will we?
No.
If I'm living in South America,
hanging out with John McAfee. Yeah.
God. That's the McAfee security guy who went like crazy.
Oh, yeah, he went crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a weird one, too.
He was a nut job.
Yep.
He was like crazy from the start. But yeah, I guess if we don't watch The Birdcage, what other Disney movie can we get through?
Well, Cinderella has a remake, a live action one.
You're right.
What about.
I think I saw that.
It's the Maleficent
Girl.
You saw the Cinderella remake in theaters?
I feel like I did.
By yourself?
It's Sleeping Beauty, Jay.
On a date. Like, I think on a date.
I don't know what the Sleeping Beauty deal is, if there's a Sleeping Beauty and then there's a new Sleeping Beauty.
Sleeping Beauty and Maleficent.
That's how they did it,
I'll do that. Okay.
You
want to
do that? Because I did want to see Maleficent.
Yeah, let's do that.
I'll see that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's you know, it's a retelling.
I'm not a huge Sleeping Beauty fan, right, but right. I am curious to see Maleficent.
Sleeping Beauty. Like, I heard it's not bad.
Yeah. You know what? I always get Sleeping Beauty and Snow White and the Seven Dwarves mixed up because they're both about sleeping princesses.
Yes, exactly. And but I don't think there has been a newer remake of Snow White.
I don't think so, but you never know. It could have been a shitty one that they swept under the rug.
It's one of the holy movies that they never
touched. Yeah, I don't. Yeah. That's one of
the first animated feature. Yeah.
Okay. I guess, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was, I haven't seen the original in forever, but I imagine they don't want to fuck that up.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll say Sleeping Beauty and Maleficent. Or the Birdcage, or we'll figure it out when you fuckers come back next week.
It's not
don't
like
worry
they're doing research. It's not like they're watching it before.
Yeah,
us.
They're not. Don't it's worry. Not even like they're listening to the podcast. They're not doing
we're
that
just
either.
Screaming
so
into the void.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's just us yelling.
Yep. Yeah,
we're in our own echo chamber.
That's exactly what this is for. It's literally the podcast goes into the computer and back into the headphones. And that's it. It's a closed circuit. I'm not even posting these things anymore.
It's just therapy.
You guys wouldn't know.
That's not true. I'm still subscribed to our channel.
Oh, wow. Well, okay. Yeah. Yeah, cool.
I'm subscribed on both by app and by podcast
app
and YouTube. Yeah.
It's a big deal, Brandon. Yeah. It's a big deal. Thank you for supporting the show.
No problem.
You haven't subscribed to our Patreon yet.
We don't have a Patreon.
Not with an attitude like that. Why would we need one? You're not going to support us.
What do we do for tiers? Like, are we gonna like make
tiers? Oh, tiers!
Like, we have to if we're gonna do a Patreon, we have to think about like what we're gonna do for the people that join.
Oh, if you're a didn't gold tier member, you get to listen to me talk about politics for an
there
hour.
There you go.
Didn't I just come to
free,
your house.
No, I came up with something stupid, something ridiculous
of Jay's
for
Wrestling
like
corner. Like, that's what you get.
Yeah, it wasn't like Jay calls you and
yeah, that's right. Yeah,
you get to talk to Jay for his personal.
You get to name one wrestler. And I will tell you everything about that wrestler for 10 minutes. Yeah. That is your reward.
These are supposed to be things people want,
they
Jay.
Do. They want to hear that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'm sure.
Yeah. Name one wrestler. Any wrestler. But only one.
Wow.
Or.
This sounds great. Where do I subscribe?
for another $5 a month.
Oh, wow.
For another $5 a month.
What a deal.
I will explain to you in excruciating detail everything that is wrong with Captain Janeway on an episode by episode basis.
There you go.
You get one episode a month. And I just talked to you about it.
Okay.
Dude, I would watch that YouTube series if you did that. Like, since, that's a lot of episodes right there.
Since Star Trek is technically on topic for this conversation, I wanted to ask you, what is the whole Janeway thing? Why did she...
She's a war criminal.
Right, right. But you always bring up this genocide thing. And I was unclear on how...
Because she kills an entire timeline by changing the timeline.
Right. Yeah. Okay, that's what I thought. So doesn't Picard do the same thing on countless occasions?
I would never speak ill of Picard.
That's what we thought you were gonna
say. I just feel like yesterday's Enterprise and that one where fucking I guess that's yesterday's Enterprise.
Yeah,
but
there's many other times.
Countless occasions, Jay. They're always destroying timelines.
Janeway's a war criminal.
What about the final episode?
That's why she's not Picard. Right now,
she's in a
fucking
Federation prison,
the Federation gulag.
Okay, okay.
Out in New Zealand, where Tom Paris was.
I still think your grasp on Federation law.
I'm an expert on Federation law.
I don't think you are. I don't think it's a whole different legal system. There's like tribunals. This is not like the civilian
the
courts.
Chart, okay.
I have read the Federation chart.
This is all questionable, highly suspect. But okay, yeah.
Speaking of
Picard.
Yeah.
Picard. What happened in this week's episode? I watched it.
Yeah.
They got the gang together.
Oh, they finally got on a ship.
They got the ship. He said
they
engage.
Got the people together.
Three episodes in, we're finally on a fucking ship. That was good. I'm happy about that.
Again, this is the setup. We're not, I don't think we're into like the meat of it yet. He's still getting everybody together. He hasn't even gone and talked to Riker and Troy, which we know is going to happen.
Right.
And he hasn't recruited Seven yet, which we know is going to happen. So I think we're still in the ramp up, the setup, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
because that's what I've heard is
you guys have both seen the first three episodes,
correct.
Right?
Yes. Okay. We haven't seen the next one, so we're all in the same boat.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of it so far. I liked episode three. I like.
I liked it. Yeah.
I like the slow. It's a little bit slow burn, with the exception of the action, which we just have to accept is now
part of it. Yeah,
I like the combat in episode three better than
too.
The combat in episode two.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
Did a better job when the Romulans are breaking into the house.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah. I thought they did a good job of that. I thought it was realistic and yet still Star Trek-y enough.
I like, what is it? Laris and Zaban, like the husband and wife.
The husband and wife.
Tal Shiar.
Who we just left behind on Earth?
Yeah.
I'm sad that they left them behind. I feel like they've got to be back.
Stuff. Like, they're going to cover stuff up. They're going to... Okay. And I hope that they are okay. That's what I'm... Like, yeah. I hope we see them again, because I hope they're okay.
I like those characters. I don't want this to be the last time we see them until, like, episode 12, when Picard comes back to Earth.
Hey, did we all forget that they have cyanide... acid teeth.
Yeah, right? Like, they forgot. Yeah.
Like, and why didn't that guy do that earlier? He had a whole conversation with them before cyaniding himself. I was like, if you're going to do it...
Plot. Plot reasons.
Yeah. It's just... that was all silly.
There was a point where Picard was like, face-to-face with them. It's like, that's when you do it. We've seen Dune. We all know how this goes. You're supposed to bite down on it and blow in his face. Like,
yeah. This was it was the worst Romulan
They're
ever.
They're bad assassination biker squad.
They were! I was so... It was like two old men, or an old man and two retired secret agents.
Yeah.
Like, you couldn't handle that? You're supposed to be a Romulan death squad.
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus Christ. And then the scientist lady is still weird, which is fine.
She's questionable. We'll see.
I just didn't think we needed all that, like, back and forth. I was like, Picard can't even get his friends to come with him. He's going to take anybody he can get.
Yeah.
Come on, scientist lady.
It was a little too, I think they're setting up that she's going to be a double agent. Because I think it was a little too forced that it was like, why should she come with you? Well, and then they even, when she got there, even Raffi was like, I didn't vet her. I don't know who she is. And it's like, I think because they didn't show the end of that conversation she had with the...
With the Federation.
Commander O, super badass sunglasses.
Romulan.
Right. Oh my God.
Definitely not a Romulan. Definitely not a Romulan in disguise. 100% not a Romulan.
Yeah, I'll take back what you said last week that she was. I was like, I don't think she is. And I'm like,
she's definitely
a
Romulan.
No, she's definitely not a Romulan.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
What was the deal? The captain, not the, I guess he is the captain, the pilot.
Yeah, Captain Ramos or whatever.
Right. Wolverine, Space Wolverine.
Yes, totally.
Was his EMH. Also him?
Yes. It's different.
ENH.
There's different personalities and different... It's the same actor, but he's doing different roles as different emergency holograms, which I think is cool.
Okay.
I think that's cute. I think that's
cool. Yeah, he had like different accents. And I was like, oh, okay.
There was the emergency medical, and then there was a navigation. Yeah.
Gotcha.
I really want Robert Picardo back.
I know.
For EMH.
But this guy looks good. I don't know. We only saw him for 5 minutes.
Yeah, so. No. I'm not saying
I'm excited for this.
I really want some Robert Picardo.
We're not going to get everybody.
He's fine. I like the idea of this hologram who kind of helps them run the ship.
Yeah.
Well, that's from Voyager. I feel like they're pulling that. That's a Voyager deep cut from the ECH, the Emergency
Command Hologram, of course.
Which
absolutely.
I'll respect that cut.
But. It just... So, like... The androids all went crazy, and I liked that scene in episode 2 where we saw what actually happened. That was, you know, fun and very Data-like with the actions and the motions and the whatnot.
Yeah.
But then we still have, like the EMH is okay. We're cool with that.
Yeah, I'm interested in why that's a divide is okay.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So if we're going lore-based, right?
I mean, I'd like you to, Jay.
I would imagine that at the end of Voyager Season 7, and I can't remember the name of the episode, but it was... Author. So in the episode Author, the Doctor publishes a holo novel, and they try to... The Federation lawyers try to claim it as their own because the Doctor's a hologram and not a person.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
So they have that case where Tuvok represents the Doctor... And it's ruled that the EMHs are like sentient living organisms, so with the same rights that would be afforded to any living being. So I wonder if that's why the hologram. I don't know. That's
but we did the same thing with Data. We're synthetic.
I guess we did
life
in Measure of a Man. Yeah.
The holograms didn't rise up and kill people.
Right, but they're still artificial intelligence.
You would think that they would level the same type.
It would be
of,
a major concern.
And maybe they have new restrictions in place, but I do feel that needs to be explained.
Yeah, I would agree that does need
really
to be explained.
Hear that right now? I love
is she chewing on her bone like, right near your microphone?
Right now?
Yeah, it's fine. She's having fun.
I probably
won't pick up.
I know.
Listen, it's not bad. It's been frustrating that it took 3 episodes to get near a starship. And I was like, I don't know how you're trying to have some Star Trek without a starship involved.
I think this was the furthest they could have gone. If they pushed another episode on Earth, I would have been
this is boring. Yeah,
but like I think here, I think we set it up.
This is like what I've heard is that it's a 10-hour movie. Like it's gonna be as serialized as it's gonna be, but it's a 10-hour movie, so expect that there's going to be a lot of lead up over.
So it's 10 episodes, is that what we're saying?
Yes, and you said that. No, it was 10, and it's gonna be 10. And
you did say 12 last time.
That's what I thought.
No, it's 10.
I believe you.
Yeah,
I believe you.
It's 10.
First mistake.
Everybody gets one.
But you, I know you said last week, like, Mandalorian said that, and they were only, and I was like,
they were only 8.
No, but this is 10. This
okay.
is
10. Confirmed 10, and then, okay.
Yes.
And confirmed 3 seasons, I believe, too.
I know 2.
I have no idea.
2. Again, they always do this, like, oh, sign up for a second one before the even first one comes out, which isn't really, I don't know why.
Doesn't mean anything, because they can still cancel it?
Yeah, it does. But, yeah. Then they had, but the headache that goes along with that, with canceling contracts, all that sort of stuff, is a lot more of a pain
you
in the
cancel
ass.
Cancel it. I'm sure there's a clause in there.
Yes, but I'm trying to say, like, it's weird that they greenlight it so early. Do you think it's to build a hype? Is that?
I think
yeah,
it is.
Yeah, 100%
I think it's
to build a hype.
They know they can just be like, hey, we're not doing it.
Oh, fair enough.
Yeah, it's that's why I don't think it means much these
yeah,
days.
Fair enough.
Can we talk about, I guess, ex-Starfleet intelligence lady who hates Picard?
What?
Was she Starfleet intel, or was she...
I thought that's what we were supposed to get from that. That's why she's all intelligence-y. She's doing research and stuff. And
yeah.
She knows she had evidence that the Romulans were involved with the...
Raffi.
The yeah, Raffi. That's Star- thank you, mm-hmm. Raffi. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so in episode 2, she hates Picard, and she holds him literally at gunpoint. And it's like, there's nothing you could say that could possibly get me to even talk to you. And then he's like, I brought wine. And she's like, okay. And then we find out in the third episode the serious major reason why she threatened to basically kill Picard with a phaser, which is that he got her fired.
Yeah.
I thought that was a little bit. I expected
something a
more.
Little more. I thought there yeah. was going to be some sort of not. Betrayal.
He got Beverly Crusher's husband killed
yeah,
on an away mission.
Yeah,
and they fucked.
And it, yeah, they got along
multiple times.
Yeah. But she's like, ah, I got fired because I voluntarily went along with something that you and I both believed in.
Yeah,
and so is also not your fault. But now I'm going to hold you at gunpoint.
Yeah,
because
I do
of
think
that.
That's
I don't
little,
know if there's more to that.
It's a little
story,
contrived
or...
that her like resentment towards him, but then
yeah.
he's able to just like win her back because he's like I'm dangling a mystery in front of your face.
Yeah,
and she's like fine.
Seemed a little bit lame.
Yeah.
Trivia about that scene, by the way, her house is in front of the same
yeah.
rock that they fought the Kirk fought mm-hmm. the Gorn at.
Oh, interesting.
Vasquez Rocks.
Yeah, yeah, that's what it is. Vasquez
and she
rocks.
Has the fucking gall to vape there.
It's a holy sight.
Do you guys like the vaping?
I don't care. I really don't care. Space drugs are going to be space drugs. It's totally
weird.
Fine.
Weird.
I thought it was a little out of place.
I don't care. A lot of people are mixed up about it. I'm like, man, they had death sticks in Star
Wars. One way
or
the other,
like,
I don't care.
There are drugs in Star yeah. Trek, for sure. We know
oh,
that.
Sure.
And it's like, all right, if that's the way they want to represent it here, that's fine.
It just felt a little too,
like,
topical on the nose.
All right, fair enough. Fair enough.
Like, it's as if, like, somebody, like in the 90s, somebody rode a skateboard onto the bridge. It would have been like, oh, it's a space skateboard. I see what we're doing here.
No,
we're
a hoverboard. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. It just felt a little too, like, hey, we're down with your generation.
Yeah.
You
guys okay. like
you kids love the vaping, right?
It was a fellow kids
we blow
move.
Clouds,
all right,
too.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Hello, fellow children.
Yeah, it's exactly what it was. Yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah.
I didn't find it that.
Felt
that
a little
bad,
too wedged in.
Yeah. They could have done it in any other way.
I didn't mind the drugs.
Yeah,
I
yeah.
never do. But the vaping of them, I
yeah.
felt like...
at least, like, make it a skin something or...
Yeah, have her put
something
on
like
her... Drop something in her eyeballs.
Or a hypo spray.
Or a
hypo
spray. Yeah, there's more efficient ways. They've forgotten completely about hypo sprays.
They really
apparently.
Have,
they
actually,
really did,
now that
yes.
you bring it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, oh, hypo, we outlawed that technology.
Yes.
There's no, that went away with the androids.
Yeah, we don't yeah. want. We don't do it anymore.
Like, no.
Turns out it was giving people cancer.
How good was Hugh, though? Sorry.
Recent studies have come out. Turns out hypo sprays, leading cause of cancer.
It's like the warp when they had to outlaw warp travel in Next Generation. Now it's just with hypo sprays.
Oh, yeah. That was yeah. That never happened.
That,
yeah.
Yeah. The outlawing warp travel that never happened.
Because it's yep. killing that one race. And then yeah. they're like, yeah, we'll totally not do
we're
that.
Still going to go warp 9.
Yeah. yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't
but yeah,
know.
Yeah, how was Hugh though? I was
great.
Happy to see him. That was great performance.
Where did you see him?
He was the guy in the Romulan thing who was helping Dodge, like he, who
like talking
him
to the
that was fucking Hugh. And she only says it in one line where she just slides by. But it was like a really great, like under like subtle performance. It was really
yes.
good.
It
oh,
was
I liked him.
To see him again.
Right?
And I hope he shows up more in just one episode. But I know he was brought up.
I didn't realize that was him.
Yeah, and that's I was I, as soon as I heard his voice, I knew he was coming back. But as soon as I heard his voice, I was like, "Oh shit, that's you!"
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's awesome.
That
he was
well
really
done.
Good.
What? So this cube is known to both the Federation and the Romulans. Is where I'm at
it
now.
Appears
because
so.
That's what it seems like.
Because like everybody who shows up there seems above board, but they're doing not above board stuff, but it's like a known place.
Yeah, but I mean, it's 3 kilometers by 3 kilometers. Of course, there's going to be some dirty shit going on there. Like, which I learned this week, which is my new set. The cube is three kilometers by 3 kilometers.
Yeah,
by
it's like
the
size of a space station. That's like a big thing. That was always supposed to be.
Yeah, no, I didn't know.
Imposing against the Enterprise.
The dimensions,
which is
yeah.
A big ship in
Enterprise
itself.
Is about a kilometer.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely a place. I don't know if everybody knows about it. It's Romulan, like, so you got to think that there's...
But they talk about the Romulan.
There's humans there, though.
Yes,
it seems
about
like
the
Starfleet
state. And how their
Starfleet have a presence there?
No, but it seems like the Romulan Free State is still a well-known it's not like the Tal Shiar. It's a known group of Romulans.
Yes.
Clearly survivors from the supernova.
I just took that to mean that's like the new Romulan Empire.
Yes, but like again, the doctor who went there, the one who like the, I think it was in the beginning of this episode.
The other
doctor
yes,
shows up.
The other doctor.
Who apparently was Trill, and I couldn't tell.
Yes, I noticed that. She was Trill.
But she made it seem like it is like a place that you'd want to work, like a place that is advertised and that you want to work.
Yeah.
So obviously a public place. But okay. I think behind the scenes, it is run by the Jad Vash, and they are doing some sketchy shit on the side, clearly.
What I don't understand is like why this is so, like one supernova was such a big deal for the Romulan Empire. I mean, I get that it's in the Romulus system or whatever.
Yeah.
But doesn't the Romulan Empire span across like the Beta Quadrant?
That's what we thought. Yeah. Reaches if they want to retcon that, they're going to, but...
That seems like a little bit
A supernova takes out about 50 light years, yeah. This is completely unrelated to Star Trek. I was watching a YouTube video about supernovas.
Of course.
Because of Beetlejuice, which is...
Oh, yes.
Which might be going supernova, movie. But might not be going supernova. And yeah, a supernova can take out, you know, depending on its size, you know, 50 to 75 light years.
Yes, Tim Burton.
Which is not an insignificant chunk.
No, but I don't know that that's reaching other star systems.
No, Alpha Centauri is only 13 light years away.
Yeah, like it can...
From us.
It can take out surrounding, certainly surrounding. And okay. Depending on the size of the star, it could take out a large amount
of
stars.
Or is it Proxima? Or, no, it's Alpha Centauri.
It's Proxima.
Bigger than I thought, but still unimpressive when it comes
to the
scale.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm just...
It's a thing that they're probably going to retcon.
Well, if really, it's not their fault. It's the fucking remakes.
The Kelvin timeline.
They were just like, we'll do Supernova.
Supernova takes out the entire fucking galaxy.
Science.
How it works.
And Spock needed to stop it.
And it expands in like weird ways, not a completely like circular way, which would also probably fuck with Vulcan. Well, I guess it did.
So they're just dealing with what other creators have made
them deal
with. Yeah, so
I'll forgive them that, yeah.
But it's still like... Stupid,
yeah.
But okay, I'm willing to go with that. This whole Romulan thing is interesting, but I feel like it's so chosen one-y that like she has this meeting,
and that's where
with,
I'm
like,
worried
the
they're
medium,
going with it.
And she's just like, it's a, "Which one are you? Are you the one? Do you live or you die?"
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh my god, like, could you be more Jesus?
Yeah.
Right now, this is.
I don't necessarily like that. I do like me a good Borg story, but I don't necessarily need a chosen
story.
I
like the aspect of like reclaiming them and everything. I think that's interesting. But yeah, I do see this as like, oh, she's the one who could save everybody. Yeah, like it's gonna
chosen
be.
One narratives haven't been cool since the Matrix.
Precisely.
It's like they just hit that nail on the head so hard.
Yeah.
With like we're gonna call our character the chosen one,
and we're gonna actually end with him being put out on a cross.
Yeah.
Like. Mm. Yeah. Just so nobody can do it again.
Yeah, yeah. Which they continue to do,
by the way. That's a good idea. Let's just do that.
No one will notice.
It's a tired trope. It's very tired.
Yeah, and I don't mind your character being like, you know, the one true king, like a Lion King situation, or an exceptional character.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're literally like, when it's like a your destiny,
like she's reading tarot cards, it's fate.
That
she
gets
must
exactly
like, that gets too close for me for Star Trek. That's where you're getting on that line between Star Trek and Star Wars, crossing the line between science fiction
and science fantasy. Yeah.
And that's where I get a little bit like,
well, even Star Wars didn't do the chosen one until the prequels.
Right.
Anakin Skywalker was just a guy who happened to be a badass pilot and a powerful Jedi, and he ended up betraying his people to become a powerful.
But it was the
bad guy.
Yeah, prequels was
But
the prequels, they were like, he's the chosen
one. He's God.
One.
He's actually God.
That was the first mistake. It's just like, let's make Anakin Jesus. Let's do that. like, no, he should have been a guy. Luke was just a guy. Luke wasn't the chosen one.
And that's the allure of having a character like Luke Skywalker is he's just a guy, right. And you can project yourself into that.
Yeah. And he happens to turn out to be a badass that you're like, yeah, go Luke Skywalker. Mm-hmm. He does save the galaxy.
But he's your everyman.
Mm-hmm. Right, but he wasn't. There was no prophecy foretelling his coming.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. The ancient tales must be true.
Apparently, they
could he be the one?
Yeah.
It's just so played
out. So I'm not in love with that. And I'm not even totally on board with the whole Dodge thing yet. Until they explain like where the fuck she comes from, I'm not really like on board. Like, is it Bruce Maddox? Is Data somehow still involved?
Bruce Maddox mixed Data's DNA with Borg technology, and then you got Dodge.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's going to be something.
Or like Data's technology, like, mated with a nanoprobe or something.
And then they keep talking about like the like remnants of his neural net. So like they like
they
like,
keep talking about
he
that,
could
like,
be alive
thing,
in her. And I'm like, all right, but like he isn't. He's dead.
Yeah, he died in Nemesis,
right?
Because fuck.
That's like saying somebody's son is like it's like he's alive in his son.
Well,
like,
yeah, because of the
person.
Conservation of the law of conservation of energy. Of course, everybody's still alive. That's
right,
exactly
right. That's how DNA works. Yeah. You don't just pop out of nowhere.
But they're just like, oh no, his entire brain and personality can be written on one piece of DNA. That's in Dodge now.
Yeah, it just feels so.
I don't know if I buy that, but all right.
And they're doing it because Data is such a popular character, and we all love Data, and we'd all love to see more Data. But you can't give us more Data because Brent Spiner is a fat old man.
He looks terrible.
Yeah,
he looks so bad.
Which is really what we should all be doing with Picard, also, because Picard is a real thin old man.
Yes,
but at least you can be like, oh well, he's old. Like Data can't get old because he's a fucking android.
He's an android. Exactly. Yeah.
So. Listen,
it's got problems, but I'm on board with it still. It's Star Trek.
That's why you invent a new android character and you put him in a new show with a new captain, with a new cool crew, and they go on fucking adventures, and that's why I don't know why we're doing this.
They're just so averse to it, dude.
They don't want
to
take
the
risk. I still don't think that they think that there is
it's not a risk. It's the safest thing they could do.
I don't think they think that there is a
I just think it shows a disconnect.
A market, I think, which they're wrong at. I think they're wrong, but I think they don't think that there is a market for that kind of
which
show.
Shows to me
they're insane.
There's a disconnect between,
Have you been on the internet?
No, I know.
Yeah, no, I know.
I'm not, you're not going to get any argument from me, but I really think that that's what it is. I think that, because think about it, they have three shows in the works. No, they got Section 31, they got Lower Decks,
they
got
a bunch of shows. Pike
Picard,
now, too.
They have Discovery, and now Pike.
Got
so, like, legit, you've got five Star Trek shows, which I love. I'm really excited for, but like
so
to
far,
be to
two
say
them,
like
yeah.
we'll do all of these, but not actually like do Star Trek shows that they really just must not think that there's an audience.
A show
there.
Will like,
yeah, and I think that that's wrong. I think that they would get so many more. They'd get all of us, and then people who fell away from the series are going to come back to see like a TNG to DS9 era or even a little bit of Voyager in there. Like,
I feel like they did learn lessons from Discovery that they have since not done as they haven't really fucked up Picard super bad yet.
Yeah. Oh no.
Like, but they're not there. They're not where we would want them to be.
But even the ship that they're on.
Yeah.
It's fine, I guess.
It looks like a Maquis ship.
It's almost not very Star Trek-y.
Yeah, it's like a Maquis ship.
Like nothing, and Picard's like, oh, everything's to Federation standard. I was like, this doesn't look anything like a spaceship that we've even seen. I mean, it's not even like a Maquis ship. I mean, I get what you're saying.
Kind of like with the blocky, it's got like a blocky exterior.
Sure, but I'm more talking about the interior.
Oh, yes, yes.
No, it's like a whole weird.
Yeah, it's weird. It is a weird, it's not a traditional.
It reminds me more of like a Firefly.
It looks like a big shuttle.
Yeah. Ship.
Like, it looks like a big shuttle. Like it looked like he walked the length of it in the scene when he got on there, which is like, yep, he's right there.
Right.
It's a small ship.
The size of it isn't what I'm talking about. You can have I mean, shuttlecraft still had the same aesthetic
that's true.
Like a Star Trek, like a Federation ship had. And it just feels like that's what we're all looking for.
Yeah.
And I just feel like if they were in touch in any way with their fan base. And maybe that's the problem. Maybe they're not thinking about the fan base. Maybe they're like, we gotta get
non-Star Trek people.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what they're thinking.
True too.
That's what they thought with Discovery, and that's what they're still thinking with this.
It's a terrible approach because it's not going to work.
No, because Star Trek's for, like, look, like, let's be real. Star Trek's for nerds. Like, I'm sorry, it just is what it is.
They're trying to make it not for nerds.
Star Wars is for everybody. Everybody loves Star Wars, but Star Trek is for fucking nerds who want to know how the warp core works.
Right.
Who want to be able to tell you what's on every deck of the Enterprise and make sure that your turbo lifts are taking the proper amount of time and transitioning through the lift shafts and you're displaying that on screen. That's what we want. That's what Star Trek is, and they don't get that. It's not Star
Wars. And if you're not going to do that, why bother?
Yeah, if I can't tell exactly when you make the transition from the engineering section and start ascending to the command section, fuck you.
That tells me you don't know what your property is.
Yeah.
It tells me you own something and you have no idea what to do with it. It'd be like me owning a 747. It'd be like, oh, it's really fucking cool. I don't know how to fly this fucking thing, but it's nice to have it. You guys want to look at it? We could play games in it, and we'll set up a scene over here. We'll do a little bit of Air Force One action, fucking Harrison Ford style. But like, I couldn't fucking fly the thing. It would just sit there.
And that's Kurtzman Trek.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
Well, this one isn't Kurtzman. This is Kurtzman. Well, Kurtzman's part of it, but she's not showrunner. Showrunner is Michael Chabon, who's a good author and a good showrunner, but he also, it's not like he's a Star Trek guy. Yeah. Like, he's
bring
not,
me.
Yeah. I think he's better than Kurtzman.
Iris Stephen Burr.
Yeah. Right?
Bring me Iris Stephen
Burr. What the fuck is he doing? Not for nothing.
This seems like, and to that point, this seems like the perfect type of show because they are, again, doing that examining the Federation, the darker side of the Federation.
Iris Stephen Burr would be a perfect fit.
Why would you not, like, he. That's his thing in Deep Space Nine. Why would you not bring him in? Maybe not a showrunner, but like
put him as a writer, like an EP, or
in the writing room or something. Like, because this is, he knew how to blend Trek with that like darker side that you hadn't seen yet.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
and he still kept it Trek. And why he's not consulting on a series like this just boggles my mind.
Too.
That is the one thing about this series that fucking I do not understand why he's not brought in on this.
DS9 is kind of forgotten by the people who,
and that's true,
who own the property now, and like the showrunners.
That's so crazy.
Which I think, well, I mean,
I think critically it's the most success.
Critically,
it's probably the most successful.
But
Star Trek.
As far as when people go Star Trek,
maybe
they go
TNG.
Oh, Picard.
I wouldn't doubt it. TNG might beat it out.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's the most recognizable. Next Generation is most recognizable.
But Next Gen is certainly.
So, but it's not knowing your property and not knowing the people who've worked on it to say like we're going to do this show that's not TNG because it's not TNG.
Right.
No.
We're gonna do a show that is Deep Space Nine.
It is closer in tone, I guess would be
right?
Yeah.
And we're not gonna bring anybody in from the people who made that thing happen.
I don't think anybody. I mean, besides like a few guest directors, like Frakes is gonna do the next episode, or the one that's out today. But aside from that and the cast that's in it, the few returning cast members, like the entire crew, entire writing staff, entire production crew. Nobody's been brought back.
I mean, I don't want the Ricks. Fuck the Ricks.
No, like, of course. You know, but
give me some.
But like nobody. They didn't have anybody from the old time.
It's just, it's, I don't, if you're not going to use it for something good, why don't you just sell it?
They think it's good. That's the thing.
I mean, and listen, Picard is, I'm not weighing judgment on, final judgment on Picard after three episodes, but it's just, it might not be bad, but it's not what we all think of when we think of Star Trek.
No. Like you were saying on the ride over, it might be gone forever. And
it
we
is.
Might have
Star
to,
Trek?
It is.
We might have to be like,
"That's it is.
This
gone.
Is what it
accept
is
Accept it. And just, I hate it. I don't love it.
You
but,
don't have to accept it. You can just keep enjoying the old ones.
Yeah,
they're
no,
they're recorded
absolutely.
For all
and
of
I
eternity.
Do. And I do.
You're never going to get new ones. But
yeah. Not new ones in the way that you want.
It's like a good book. It doesn't mean, just because they're not releasing prequel or sequels doesn't
I'm
mean,
still going to watch the new series as long as it's not like, doesn't get super off the rails. Like I was almost done with Discovery after season one and I gave the first few episodes a try. Which I liked, and then they tanked the second half of the
season.
Yeah. They went right back to fucking action schlock.
Yeah.
But I'm willing to evolve. I'm willing to. I'll still enjoy, just not as much as I would have enjoyed.
Honestly, what it feels like to me is if, let's say, you had like Shakespeare, and like the TNG era was like pure art. It was Shakespeare. It was perfect. We all loved it. I mean, it was some episodes, sure, whatever.
Well, yeah.
But overall, that's what most Star Trek fans relate to.
Yeah.
And then somebody came like, Shakespeare died. And then somebody came along 50 years later and was like, check this out. Romeo and Juliet 2.
Well, it's like, what? They put the 50,000 monkeys in the room.
And I'm like, no, that's fine. You know, I'm just going to go back and read the original.
Yeah.
And you guys keep doing what you're doing.
I'm not saying everybody has to accept it. I'm just, my
I understand what you're saying.
My personal experience is the fact that I have already accepted that's unfortunately long buried, that I'm able to suspend my nostalgia enough to take a ride with this new show. I'm not going to maybe love it 100% and certainly not, probably not going to. I mean, we're only three episodes in, but I'm probably not going to love it as much as any of the old series. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I'm still going to take a ride with it because it is Star Trek. It's still playing to a lot of things I do enjoy about it, at least a lot of the characters that I do. But
my hope is that they eventually, like, will just, it'll be so, they will have reinvigorated Star Trek for, they will have brought in enough new audience members where they can finally say, all right, we'll throw a bone to the fucking nerds. Like,
yeah,
that's
right.
Kind of what I'm hoping.
I mean, supposedly that Lower Deck show is going to be as close yeah. as we get, but it's an animated show. It's going to be a comedy, and it's about, but it takes place right post DSI, post Voyager.
Star Trek, I mean, I hope it's good, but it's just Star Trek is not a comedy.
Precisely.
Yeah, there are funny things in Star
but
Trek.
But it's not a comedy. Yeah. I agree with you.
And
I agree.
This comedic tone of Star Trek is very specific yes. and nuanced.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like
it's dry.
I'm worried it's going to be very dry.
I'm worried it's going to be Rick and Morty on a starship.
Yeah, that's what I'm concerned about.
I'm actually
about.
Quite sure that's what it's going to be.
Oh, gosh, that doesn't sound great.
No.
And especially because we already have a show like that. It's called Rick and Morty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is a great show, don't get me wrong. I like it a lot, and they do tributes to Star Trek
yeah.
all the time, but it's not fucking Star Trek, and I wouldn't want it to be.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That's why they don't call it fucking Star Trek. So why... It's just
we're a bunch of nerds. Guys.
We really are.
CBS is not known for their great decisions, and they're still not making great decisions.
But you know what? There's a lot of independent Star Wars films out there.
Yeah,
there's a lot, and granted,
there's a ton of independent Star Trek stuff out there too. Let me chime in.
Is there?
There's a shitload. Yeah.
I actually did not know that.
Star Trek Continues. I made you watch some of that. Remember where it was like the original series, but like the
continuation
of it?
Yeah, I do remember that.
Which is really good. There's Axanar. There's Renegade, I think.
Maybe we should start watching more of that shit.
A ton of it. Yes.
Because I noticed, and 90% of the Star Wars content is people fighting with lightsabers.
Yes.
And that's, if you make a Star Wars movie, I get it.
Yeah.
I'm not saying there's a lot of good Star Wars content, but there's a few that I'm just like, the production values.
That's
like,
the way
really?
I feel about some of the Star Trek stuff. You're like, wow, they really gave it.
I like the.
I need you
to
send me
Axanar
some of this stuff.
Yeah, a few months ago.
Watch Star Trek
really
Continues.
Good.
That's a good one.
I've watched some of that.
Yeah. And then, yeah, I never saw Axanar or Renegade, but I've heard they're very good.
Yeah. Prelude, I think it's called Prelude to Axanar.
They were trying to set up their own series, mm-hmm. and then mm-hmm. they were able to make like this prequel movie.
They
and
ran into a brick wall with
CBS came in.
CBS,
yeah, CBS came in and said, "Fuck, no more."
But it takes place during the
you think CBS,
War.
Yeah,
I mean, CBS isn't like they're not making money hand over fist. They've got a struggling streaming platform. You think they could be like, "Hey, well, you guys, we'll license that to you."
Yes, they're not content friend. They're not content creator friendly.
That's
no, really
such
bad.
A mistake. Have we not learned anything from the internet age?
Yep.
I feel like we haven't.
Nope, not companies. No, they're still grasping.
Yeah, man.
I mean, even to a degree, musicians have adapted.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you remember Napster and all that shit. Yeah, I mean, mm-hmm. and listen, they're not doing, at least like a lot of them aren't doing as well as I think they were back in the days of CDs.
It's better than us pirating all the music that we want.
Right, exactly. Correct. You have to evolve with the times.
Mm-hmm.
And if you, it's like an open source platform for all sorts of great content, and people will create it without any expense to you, CBS, and if it's good, it will rise to the top because that's what happens on the internet. Mm-hmm. I mean, mostly,
more
arguably.
Or less.
That's a complicated topic.
Yeah, but that's the idea.
But right, yeah, things get a lot of upvotes. It means people like them. There's mm-hmm. an easy metric to weigh that. And then all you got to do is you got to come in and not be dicks and just be like, hey, here's what we're going to do. Maybe we give you some money and then maybe you pay us on the back end. Maybe, you know, we let you just keep what you're doing and we license you the product and you pay
it
us
is,
a fee.
It's whatever. A zero investment. It's a zero upfront investment
yeah.
in the show because they're going to do it no matter what. And then if you want to pay them money to pick it up or whatever, pay them money to pick it up. But there's zero risk to you. Mm-hmm. As a company,
you can't lose.
Yeah, I don't understand. I'm with you. I don't understand.
Just
how.
Use the license.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't have to even create the content. You have the license. We'll pay you for it.
I mean,
I'm not even saying.
Even going back, do you guys remember Trekkies? You've seen Trekkies?
I think so.
The documentary Denise Crosby hosted.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So do you remember the kid who was like super into it, who had the uniform and like, yeah, like a freak out about the uniform not being sized?
Yes.
That kid. He was then later asked to write for Enterprise and I think one of the movies. Like he was then tapped by.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Like he they were like, oh, that kid's serious. I mean, maybe they had contact with him prior, but he was like 19 in that movie, and he was like super Star Trek fan.
That's like, the thing. It doesn't seem like it should be hard to find people who are passionate about this.
Yeah, pay me. CBS. Pay me to tell you what Star Trek should be. I'll do it.
There's plenty of people.
Like, for pretty cheap, too, mm-hmm. like, because it's Star Trek.
I mean, even, right. like, what's the, one of the more famous, like, guys who writes about Star Trek? Larry Nemechek. He wrote, like, a lot of the technical manuals and behind-the-scenes stuff, and I know he had worked a little bit, I think, in the previous series, but they haven't touched up to him yet, and he's, like, he's, in within the fandom, he's known as, like, one of the big brains. Like, yeah. he knows everything about Star Trek. And it's like, why did you just ask him? He probably would have done it for free.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Just to make sure that's a good show. Like, I feel like I would do something like that for free. If CBS was like, hey, could you kind of like look over this episode and like
bring in tell us what we're not doing that's Trek? And like, yeah, exactly.
Be like, yeah, I'll do that for free. I'll probably just pay my own airfare to meet you guys out there.
will my name go on the credits?
Yeah.
Because that's all
that would
I
be
need.
Cool. But if not, I'll still do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's another example of just a big corporation being out of touch with what their customers fucking want.
Very much so.
And just desperately clinging to relevance.
And just beating dead horses that they think have money in it.
That being said, I hope the rest of Picard is very good.
Yeah. Again, I'm not as worried about this as I was with Discovery. It seems like it's going to be at least entertaining, but it's not. It's certainly not Trek that we had when we were younger. But I'm along for the ride. It's got a lot of people I like in it, so let's go.
If you had to watch Picard or The Lion King, I'd recommend The Lion King.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
But if you're a Star Trek fan, maybe give it a shot.
Well, listen, hey, it's 2020. You have time for both. We live in a culture of leisure.
We do.
I mean, the three of us have time to record a podcast on a weekly basis. Brandon doesn't even have a job.
That's true.
Since if we're not privileged, I don't know who is.
Yeah, yeah.
Speaking of which, we're going to use our magic TV boxes to watch a film next week, and it's going to be, we just had Maleficent, Sleeping Beauty?
Maleficent, Sleeping Beauty.
All right, well, listen, guys, join us next week for some
Maleficent.
I'm going to have a problem with that.
You're
going to have to do the intro next week. And Sleeping Beauty. And we'll do this same shit again, but for more Disney content.
And we'll watch another episode of Picard.
We will watch another episode of Picard, so get ready for that. Can't wait to see you guys next week. I'm Dave.
I'm Brandon.
And I'm Jay.
Nobody asked for this.
Fuck the DNC.